Parents, welcome to another episode of The Journey, a podcast intended to educate, equip, and entertain you as we talk about important issues facing our families. PCA is a Christ-centered, biblically-based, and family-focused community of committed believers doing life together. We hope the information you hear on this podcast informs and inspires you to be a better parent. Welcome to The Journey.
Hey, parents, welcome back to The Journey. Dan Panetti, I've got Aaron Williams. I'm super excited about our second conversation.
Yes, me too.
Because I'm just going to tell you, I'll say this. Okay, so we got to start with a couple things. One,
sure.
I need our parents to subscribe and share.
Absolutely.
So this is a great podcast. And
this is a good one to share.
It is. It's a great one to share, but all of them are good to share. Okay? But
always.
This one, especially because I approached you after we did our first one, kind of dealt a little bit with anxiety, and we were talking,
yeah.
And I said, Aaron, I would love to do a podcast dealing with eating disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And in my life, I've had a number of people that have had eating disorders, and I've seen this kind of issue, and I was like, hey, we really need to wrestle with this and kind of tie into this. And you said, you know what would be better?
Mm-hmm.
What would be better is if we talked about the bigger issue.
Yes.
Right? The whole body shaming, right? Body positive, body issue, whatever. And I went, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
So you gave me a book to read.
I did.
And I have read it. It's called Breaking Free from Body Shame,
mm-hmm.
by Jess Conley. But that's not the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because there's more than just this particular journey. There's like your journey and your experience and
yeah.
all the different things that you've walked through with that. So I think this is going to be a great conversation.
Yeah.
Because I've learned a ton talking to you and reading the book, and I hope our parents are going to learn a lot as well in this process. So, Aaron, our upper school counselor, super excited that you're taking the time and willing to share with our parents about this particular issue. Where do you want to start?
Okay,
in the
well, first of all, thanks for reading the book because it is kind of girly, I would say. I think, you know, girls disproportionately deal with this more than boys, not saying that boys or men don't. But the statistics are something between like 90 and 95% of people will deal with body shame at some point in their life. And so that's huge. That's everybody.
That's huge.
And so
yeah.
obviously disproportionately women, but we are all either a woman or know a woman. And so I think working especially in the school and seeing how it affects young women, how it's affected my life, it's just such a relevant issue.
Mm-hmm.
Becomes even more relevant when we talk about social media and how that's affecting our girls and women and boys and all of that. And so I just think, for me, we can't not talk about it. I'm passionate about it because it's affected my life. I've found freedom in this area. And so I just sometimes want to shout from the rooftops, like, there is freedom to be found here.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people don't talk about it because it can feel embarrassing. Obviously, it's shame-based. Or we feel alone in that. And so it's scary. I've had lots of conversations in this office with girls about it. I've had lots of conversations with women about it. If anybody knows me, they know they sat at a dinner table or lunch table with me and I've switched the conversation or changed the conversation to something different based off what women normally talk about. And so this is my soapbox and I'm pumped to talk about it. And it just, I'm just excited. So
tell us a little bit about the journey,
yeah.
right? So this is a struggle that you've had. Where did that start?
So I would say it's been a 40-year journey. Like I don't remember not struggling with
mm-hmm.
it. And I found this book through a leadership conference I did. I went to a breakout session and it was about body shame. I'm like, this is fascinating. So I went and took this little breakout session and I was like, who is this woman who is just beaming and then talking about her struggles. I've just never seen someone talk about body struggles and freedom in that way. And so I bought the book. She's actually does a Christian women's coaching program. I went through the program. So I'm actually a certified Christian women's coach as well. And this started a journey for me, which included therapy and lots of other things. I would say 95 to 100% almost of my thought life was taken up by thoughts of body and image and in food and what do I look like and who's looking at me and not because anybody ever said anything to me, but because I will say one of the reasons I'm passionate about this is because for parents is that growing up, nobody ever said anything to me about the way I looked that wasn't positive.
Okay.
But I watched the way other people talked to themselves and about themselves and the way other people treated their bodies and the way other people talked about other people. And that showed me how I thought about myself. Oh, if you're talking about them this way, if you're treating your body this way, then there must be something wrong with me. And so that's it. I remember that at a very young age. And so this book just opened a door for me. And honestly, it was Jesus that ultimately freed me from this, because my thought life had to make a turn. I had to renew my mind and start thinking about other things and fill my mind with other stuff. But this book got me thinking about it in a different way. And then I'm able to share that with these girls who come in here on the daily, not just girls, but women who sit around tables and make excuses for what they're eating or the way they look. And girls who are talking about, I had girls in here yesterday Googling, what's the average weight for a 15-year-old? And I was like, absolutely, no, we're not doing, just all of these thoughts of the way the world gets in and tells us who we should be and what we should look like. And it's just all the time and every day. And I think we don't even realize we're doing it. And so I'm just passionate about everyone being free from that. Like, what if we walked around and all just felt the freedom that God's given us to worship in these bodies? Like, this is the body he's given us to worship him with. And like, I want to feel good in it, and I want to feel able to do that and not bogged down by these intrusive thoughts about what I should be or what I'm not. And so that's the short story.
No, I like it. So questions that are just like popping in my head, right? A lot of the thought process going on in your head is kind of looking and paying attention to what the world's standards are and what the world says. Yeah. From a Christian perspective, right, why is that important to us? Like, why can't we just like tune that out and say, listen, the world's broken and it's not God's best for us. Why can't I just listen to what God says about me? And God says, Aaron, I love you.
Yeah.
Right. And you're right. You're my daughter. Yeah. Right. Why isn't that good enough for us? Why do we struggle with so much of trying to figure out what the world says and what the world's doing when the voice that should be louder in our head is God's voice? But for most of it, it's not.
Yeah.
The world's voice just continues to bombard us with these other things that like take so much of our time, energy, and effort.
Yeah, well, I wish I had the perfect answer to that. But I mean, I think we are, for me, what I'm putting in is what's coming out too. And I think we put in so much of the world, right?
Yeah.
So I always talk about social media, and all my students roll their eyes like, we don't want to talk about social media anymore. I'm like, but it is so pertinent to what's going on. But like, even myself, like, I have never left a scroll session, for lack of a better word, and ever felt better about myself. Yeah. My hair is not shiny enough. My house isn't clean enough. I mean, even like my relationship with Jesus, my quiet time doesn't look like that. My kids aren't clean and, doing whatever they're supposed to be doing. And so it's like, I'm a grown woman with a fully functioning prefrontal cortex and decision-making skills. And I can figure that out. And I think about these girls and boys that are just intaking all the world all day.
Yeah.
And it's just, you have to make a change. And the reason it matters is because that's their main focus. And especially as young people, we know that it shifts at a young age. They're really looking at their parents. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to always start there. Like, it matters what our parents are saying to us. It matters how our parents are talking. It matters what your mom is saying about her body.
Okay, so since we're talking
let's
to parents,
start there.
Let's start there,
yeah.
Right? Mom and dad. Let's have the conversation with both.
Yes.
What would be healthy conversations to have about this particular issue? And then what are some things that you've heard that you would put in that category of, these are not helpful?
Yeah.
So let's start with the positive.
The positive. Ways that you can, not talking about your body in a way that,
not constantly dieting, right?
Well,
because that's a word that you're going to hear all the time, right? I mean, I'm constantly on a diet.
Uh-huh.
What diet are you using?
That.
Hey, what are you doing? Keto, whatever, all the different
things. So dieting is the number one predictor of eating disorders.
Okay.
Not everyone that diets has an eating disorder, but the majority of people that have eating disorders have been on a diet.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that's a huge, probably a trigger word for a lot of people, but not always talking about what we're eating, how picking apart our bodies, like, oh, this or oh, that. So I always, my daughter stands up next to me in the mirror and is just, mommy, you know, brushing your hair, we're so beautiful. I'm like, yes, we are. You know, just always positive. I mean, it sounds easy and cheesy, but it's true. Mm-hmm. But I think what happens is we think we're talking about, if I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, these jeans are too tight, or I've gained a few pounds, or, you know, I'm not talking about my daughter, but she's hearing me say that, like, oh, like I'm looking at my mom who I think is beautiful. And she's saying like, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't fit into these jeans, or I'm too big, or my hair, just all the things that you might say. It's like they're hearing that. And so they're comparing themselves, or you're teaching them how to talk about their own bodies.
Right. So is there a way of having healthy conversations about things that don't slide into, I mean, cause here's the deal.
This gets tricky.
Right, exactly, right? But, you know, as a young person growing up, and even, I kind of just tell you, right, at our age,
you're
significantly younger. But at my age, right, I mean, it's just, you know, as you look and you're trying to, you know, stay in shape, be healthy. I want to keep doing the things that I did 20 and 30 years ago. And so it's like it helps to be in a healthier position.
Yes.
So how do we focus on healthy things as opposed to body image
so
things?
I think my big thing is the why.
Okay.
And I think that was my biggest struggle. Mm. Like I had to stop. I am like an all or nothing. And so I was like provoking my body and trying to manipulate, like doing, I've done so many unhealthy, terrible things to myself in the name of health. And people probably looked at me and were like, oh, you're so healthy or whatever you are. And I was probably the sickest I'd ever been. Mm. And so my why was deeply disordered.
Yeah. That's important though. Right. Is to be honest with yourself, to really say, why am I doing this? So it's not just the what. Right, because it's like, hey, listen, I can eat healthier. That's the what, but it's like, well, why are you doing that?
And I think that's the nuance. And so many girls and women I talk to are like, well, but the health and the can I eat the and I'm like, this isn't a conversation about health and fitness. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation about the why and the heart. And so, like, when I was telling my husband, like, I can't go to the gym, and he was like, why not? I'm like, it's just the only reason I can think of why I would go is, and to be honest here, is like I want to be smaller. And I want people to think I'm more beautiful. Mm. And it's like, what? And so I wrestled with that for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, what is my why? Why am I doing this? And not just for me, but because this is a generational curse in my family. I think it's a cultural curse. And, you know, if not just for my family, for my students and for my students' moms and for my colleagues, like, can I be that person that kind of redirects the conversation? You know, I have yet to sit down with a group of women who are eating. I think I said this before and haven't been like, oh, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I'm doing this, eating this or drinking this or, you know, making excuses for what they're eating or what they look like. I'm like, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
We're speaking life over our bodies. Yep. What's our why? We can enjoy celebration foods. We can be healthy, you know, and it can all go together, but we've been almost brainwashed by this culture.
Yeah.
And we're to the tipping point where, you know, this health has become a problem. I think there's even a new diagnosis. I forget the exact name, but it's obsession with healthiness, and it's under the eating disorder sector. Yeah. And it's like this over obsessive compulsion with being healthy, and it's lauded as good, you know? And so it's detrimental. And so I think that's a fine line in how you talk to your kids. Yeah. I've had a parent come in here and talk to me about, like, it's my duty to tell my daughter if she's like gained weight or doesn't look the way she should. And that was a tough conversation for me. Because I think that our bodies change.
Oh yeah.
I mean, in high school for sure, as we age, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's okay. Again, with this new, like you were talking about wanting to be healthy, to be able to do the things we used to do, to be able to run around with our kids or grandkids, whatever that looks like. So again, I think it's so nuanced, but I think ultimately it's a heart issue and it's very personal to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the non-positive things that people can say or do in their homes. I know from a male perspective, as I was reading the book, one of the things I kind of picked up on, and I've mentioned this to you, it seems like a lot of the body image issues are kind of women really kind of focusing on what they look like to other women.
Sure.
But men play a particular role in this, right? We're dads raising daughters. We're husbands with wives.
Yes.
And there are things that we can say that aren't helpful.
Sure.
And there are things that we can say that are helpful.
Yeah.
Right? What are some things that men, let's mm-hmm. talk to dads first. Mm-hmm. What are the things that men, dads can say that wouldn't be helpful?
Yeah. You know,
things
so,
maybe that you've heard without saying that a name.
Yes, I've heard some things. So I think number one, being aware that this is an issue.
Okay.
I think that's one of the things you told me is like this. Reading this book or knowing these things, or like I said, my husband's been through this journey with me, and now he can look at me and he's like, tell me what's going on. Like, I can tell.
Yes.
And so being aware that this is a struggle, and how oftentimes I'm even like, this is so silly. I can't believe it's been and he's like, it's okay. Like, this is your thing, and we're going to work through this. So being aware that you have a daughter, a wife who probably is struggling with this, even if she's like saying she's fine. Some things that aren't helpful. I've heard, dads that maybe tell their girls like, hey, like, maybe you don't need seconds on the food, or hey, maybe we should be, working out more. Or, I mean, I've to the extreme of like, I had a dad that, took his daughter's mattress away and wouldn't let her, this was not at the school, in a public school, but like, if she didn't wake up and work out, like, you're not sleeping. I mean, just like, we're trying so hard to like,
right,
want your daughters even to be this version of something the world says is okay by like making them provoke their own bodies. And so I think, again, the like intricacies with food and nutrition, I just think for me, I don't moralize food. And so I think all food fits in all different ways. And mm-hmm. so I think number one is modeling that. What are we doing? Like, eat a salad, great. Eat a burger, great. But telling people and restricting our kids' food, I think just leads to unhealthy behaviors too.
Yeah. And the why behind it really is an important aspect. I mean, if you're getting your son or daughter up to go work out because they're in a sport
and you want to compete and they want to do it.
Right. But if you're like, hey, you need to be working out because you and it becomes an image issue,
right,
that's a huge focus. Right. And so I think, paying attention to that, like what's your why as a parent? What do you want your son or daughter to look like? And is that the most important thing?
And the why, just in everything when we have these kids. Like, why do we want our kids to do this thing or go to this place? Or, that's hugely important. I think we get so locked in on our neighbor, like, because they and she and, and it's like, man, we've just really got to focus on, like, our family's health and heart health. Like, how do we want our women to grow, these girls to grow up,
And, you mentioned social media, and let's pay attention to people that we're paying attention to. I think one of the difficult things for our young people to really understand is just what a different life and lifestyle a lot of those people have. If you're in the arts and entertainment business,
yeah.
I mean, this is your livelihood.
Yeah.
And so body image to them, I mean, they're doing a lot of things that are just severely crazy, unhealthy and even unsafe to try to, present a particular image. And then our girls and our wives, are looking at those things saying, well, how come I don't look like this? And it's like, that's a whole different life.
That's a whole different lifestyle,
right? I mean, if I compared myself to a professional athlete and, who's getting paid millions of dollars to go do something, say, why can't I do that? It's like, well, you're also not getting paid millions of dollars to keep your body in that particular shape.
Right.
So I think those things, that, just kind of comparison, the thief of joy, right? What are you really comparing to and why are you doing that? And do you really understand some of the things that are going on behind the scenes? Because we know, a lot of people are, unhealthy and unhappy in those particular lifestyles
and
as well.
And if you want to Google something that's really good, Kate Winslet did like a little interview about how detrimental she talks about
the actress
Kate Winslet, and she talks about the
way. Because she had a body image kind of weight thing as people kind
of
looking at
her. As do most of them, but she talks about that. And she's like, this isn't real. She's like, I'm telling you, all of you girls, this isn't real. Like, we just go home at the end of the night and take this dress off and we're just, and it's a really good little, she has daughters, I believe. And she talks about that. And it is so true. And, when I was growing up, and it doesn't really matter. I tell people it doesn't really matter how we grew up anymore because this is the new reality.
Yes.
Is we might've been comparing ourselves to not our colleagues, but our peers.
Mm-hmm.
And now these girls, boys are, like you said, comparing themselves to like literally everybody in the world.
Yes.
And not just people that are athletes or professionals or celebrities, but these fake pictures, that like, this isn't actually even a real person. And maybe they don't even know that it's infiltrating their mind that way, but it's just pouring, these images are just pouring into their brains. They can't help but become part of, the makeup of how they're viewing themselves.
So what are some steps forward? I know, honestly, social media,
We can't. That's a whole other talk.
No, but well, let's. I mean, as a parent, can we limit and restrict
100%,
right, our kids' access to what they see? I think that's so important.
I mean,
right? And have those conversations.
Protect our kids like physically in ways that are wild. I mean, we're not letting our kids play outside. We're not letting our kids drive to these places. But like digitally, we are giving them free rein.
Right.
And it's like you've got to tail that back.
Yes.
Like I'm only giving my kids 3 hours on TikTok. And I'm like, 3 hours a week? And someone's like, no, 3 hours a day. And I was talking to a parent. I'm like, this is wild for a preteen, you know? And so I think you have to think about the way the way I feel when I'm looking at it and know that like it can be a good babysitter. It can help some kids. Like, this helps me just calm down, but we're rewiring their brains,
Okay. So you mentioned, right, at your age, right, all the wiring fully functioning, everything, but a teenage brain is not. And so the images that they're processing, they're not really mature enough to understand, like, what am I seeing and how is that influencing me?
Yeah.
So if you are allowing access to those things and you're not helping them filter and understand what those things are, right, their ability to process, wait, am I supposed to look like this? What is the standard, right? Like,
and what we know is that the whole job of social media is to curate something for that makes you – almost, it's like consumerism to buy. So they know, and there are some studies done where they just created like a 14-year-old girl profile, no contacts, no nothing. And they went to like the search feature, and the stuff that came up were like diet, a lot of dieting things, makeup tutorials. It was all like, hey, how can I kind of make you feel like you're not enough so that I can feed you these things? Mm-hmm. Or a lot, self-harm. There's a lot, it was a myriad of things that were no good. And so same thing for boys. That's a different thing, but they're feeding them these things. They're curating it to be addictive and to kind of, change the way you're feeling about yourself sometimes, often, to buy something or buy into something.
Yeah. What was, I don't know if there is a specific, but what was kind of like your light bulb moment where you really begin to see like a positive move in your mind?
Yeah. I think it was more of like a pit before a light bulb, but it was like, I can't do life anymore without thinking this all day. I was like, I told my husband, it's impossible. Like, I'm never not going to think this way about bodies, my body, how I'm supposed to look. I'm just I'm like, it's impossible. But it was affecting my life. It was affecting my job. Mm. And I was like, no more. And I just slowly, God was just so faithful and sweet to give me little things along the way. I wish it was like one big thing. I think this book helped me feel like I'm not alone. Like, this is a real story that other women have. It's not embarrassing. And there is freedom to be found there. I will tell you, like, currently, honestly, I'm in a fight with the enemy to figure out. I go through highs and lows, and like right now is a low, and I'm like, I'm fighting every day for my mind, for my body, for my daughters, for these girls. And sorry,
no,
I just,
that's,
it's real.
It's
and
real.
I want freedom for my family. I want freedom for, like I said, my daughter. I tell these girls here, my daughter's name is Martha. She's 4. And
she's been in here.
And she's been in here a million times, and the girls know her. And I'm like, we're doing this for her.
Yeah.
We're doing this for her generation. Yeah. We're doing it for our moms who suffered too through these same types of things.
And you know what's interesting? So I have some people that I know that are older than I am. Mm-hmm. And this is a real issue even for them.
Yes.
And so this isn't, just Martha.
No.
This isn't just Aaron.
No.
These are women that are in their 70s and 80s that continue to have plastic surgery to keep up with a particular image, literally spending tens of thousands of dollars, right, just to promote a particular image that they have to keep on going,
and
right?
I'm
like, where's the rest come?
Yeah,
where does the rest of the piece of being able to say, this is not important to me, right? There are other things that are more important. Why can't we focus on those things?
Yeah.
And the body image and what I look like and how I portray myself to everybody else, and if I, am beautiful and accepted and good enough and all the different things, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, the striving, like you said, it's just got to like rest for our souls. Mm. It's too much. And what a beautiful gift to give our daughters that we can show them what it looks like, and our sons, to love an aging woman Do you know what I mean? Like to show that Chris loves me just the way I am in every stage of life. Like, that's a gift. Not like I have to be someone for him to love me. I have to be nipped and tucked or whatever it looks like. Or I have to, you know, manipulate my body and do all these things, you know, to the detriment of my heart and soul just to get. And that's just, that's not for him or for God to love me.
Yeah. So it sounds like this would be a great conversation for a dinner table, for a family to have. This would be a good resource for moms and dads to read.
Yes.
Any other resources or things, right? You mentioned the Kate Winslet video. Anything else kind
of
popping your mind?
I mean, there's so many studies.
Anything to stay away from, right? So is there something out there that's just like this does not present it in a way that would be healthy?
Well, I think that's where you get into the diet and exercise culture.
Okay.
I mean, it is so shiny. You know what I mean? You're like, sure. Yes. And like, yeah. That's what I want. And that's, and everyone's seeing it. You're like I said, I'm seeing it. These teenagers are seeing it. Their moms are seeing it. And it looks so good and so enticing. And I'm going to do this. And I think just switching the talk, like, let's just flip the script on that. Mm-hmm. And let's just talk about it differently. Do a few things differently. You know, like, let's not talk about exercise or dieting. Let's just try that. Let's try to talk about our bodies instead of like pulling them apart and talking about different parts. Let's try to speak life over our bodies. I have this little sticker that says, this is a good body or something. And it's on my board. And I'm like, this is a good body. I have to tell myself that. And I think just kind of like moving the needle a little bit.
Yeah.
And I try to do that in here all the time.
You know what's interesting is, so Jess Conley in her book touches on a few things, right, from the body's perspective, you know, in Scripture.
Mm.
It's a very interesting thing because, you know, on one side, right, Scripture talks about our body being a temple, right, where we house the Holy Spirit. And so it's like, we need to take care of this thing,
100%.
Right? This is important. And then on the other side, right, 2 Corinthians talks about your body being a tent, mm-hmm. right? And so in some regards, it's kind of like, listen, here's the deal. It's passing, you know, life is a vapor. It's passing away. You know, God is preparing for you an eternal body, right? He's building for you something. And so the physical body that I have now is a tent. And so it's kind of like this tension that I live in. It's kind of like, wait, is my body really important or is my body just a tent?
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, one of the things she talks about is how when you go to the extremes, that's where you find yourself in danger.
Yeah.
Right. When you put too much emphasis on the body and its importance, you know, and what you look like, and all of a sudden now you can't get rest, but you can also go to the other side and just say, I don't care about my body at all, right? I don't shave, I don't shower, we don't care.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, no. So there's that healthy balance, I think, from a Christian perspective of being able to say, I want to be a good steward of what God's given me, but I need to be careful because the world can take that and twist it so easily.
And it's so different for everybody. Yeah. So I think when we put our health standards, she talks about a girl that she knows that maybe runs marathons and does all these things and is really particular about what she eats. And that's her way to glorify God.
Totally.
But for other people, that might be hugely unhealthy. Yeah.
Well, she shares that she has an autoimmune disease as well. And so sometimes like her body will just like literally just turn on her.
Yeah.
I mean, just all of a sudden, oh, look, we put on 15 pounds. Why? Well, I've got some medical issues that are going on that complicate things. And it's like sometimes we don't realize that. When you look at a person, you don't know all the different things that are going in there.
Yeah.
Right. And she was like, it's not just that I'm lazy and unhealthy. There are sometimes other things, right, that complicate things. And I think we have to be careful about that, right? Because we can be very judgmental about other people when we see people and, you know, but we don't know the whole story behind what's going on.
Absolutely. And I always like to say, like, you know, no matter if you didn't change anything about yourself from this day forward, God still loves you.
Yeah.
It's like your body, whatever shape it's in right now, like you don't have to change it, you know?
And if your desire, and heart's desire is to change it for the wrong reasons, that's a bad place to be. Because that's going to be a frustrating pursuit, right? If you're pursuing the changes for the wrong reasons.
So empty, yeah.
Right. Then you're
and you're going to look back at these pictures of you and be like, I'm just a hollow shell, you know?
Yeah.
And I think especially for these girls in this office or girls 5 to 95, I tell them all the time, like, your body is not the most important thing about you.
Right.
It's just not. Like, let's not spend all of our time talking about it.
Well, if you notice in Scripture, right, there's a lot of characters in Scripture, and we know very little about their physical appearances, right? I mean, like God saying, that's really not important. And in fact, when he talks about David, He says, hey, you look at the outward appearance to Samuel, yeah. right? And God looks at the heart. And yeah. so God's in some ways trying to let us know, right, that our physical appearance is not the most important thing about yeah. us, right? I mean, our heart's Thank desire,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Our heart's desire of knowing him,
yeah.
right? And so we know, you know, Saul is tall, right? Yeah. Like little things like that. Scripture's kind of funny
yeah.
In saying that, but it doesn't go into physical descriptions yeah. of people. And I think maybe for a good reason.
Yeah. I mean, this is countercultural. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that. It's hard. I mean, even in a Christian environment,
yeah.
I mean, some, you know, like I said, when I'm sitting at these tables with them, like, oh, here Erin comes. She doesn't care about calories. You know, I'm like, no, I don't. You know, like I'm trying to change how we talk about it. Yeah. And so I think this is a big cultural issue, yes. But like it starts at home, you know, how we're talking about it, what we're saying. And how we're stewarding them in this way.
Yeah. Well, anything else from a parent perspective that you want to share with mom and dad on this particular issue that you think would be helpful?
It starts with you.
Yeah.
It starts everything. When we talk about anxiety, when we talk about this, like I said, if I find an anxious child, I'm not going to go home and find two chill adults.
Yeah.
You know, if I find a girl that's struggling, you know, with eating, or a boy that's struggling with their body, like I might go home and find a parent who might feel the same way about their own. I mean,
yeah.
And so it just starts with you.
Yeah.
It's a big, it's not a burden. It's a gift, because the cool thing is you can make that, you can make a change. And so I think it starts with modeling that behavior, not just modeling it. I mean, maybe it's like a fake it till you make it thing, because sometimes you have to start saying it before you believe it. But like, let's check your heart about it, you know,
yeah.
check your heart.
Yeah.
So,
well, thank you for sharing with our parents part of your journey
yeah.
and just how important it is. I think for me, this is the start of a conversation that, you know, the book is not the end all be all, but
no.
it definitely does help
yes.
bring an awareness, bring a thought process. And I think you need to start with that. And then, you know, you check the heart attitude of
yeah.
why am I doing the things that I'm doing? And are these really to honor God and to glorify God? Or are they to fit
yeah.
into some model and some mold mm-hmm. that the world is telling me that's important,
yeah.
right? Because if it is, that's a bad place to be. No matter what the world says, I have to be this beautiful. The world says I have to be this wealthy. The world says I have to do whatever. And I'm just telling you, God's economy is different than the
yeah.
world. So be very careful of trying to fit into the world model, as opposed to what does God say
yeah.
about these things, and let's try to please him as opposed to pleasing the people who are around
absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Erin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you for investing the time to listen to this episode of The Journey. Please take a minute to share with friends and family who will also benefit from this valuable resource. And don't forget to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast app. It is truly our blessing and honor to walk with you on The Journey.